Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm your host, Sammy Jacobs. Today joining us is former Indiana head coach as well as former Vanderbilt and LSU head coach and current BTN analyst Jared DiNardo to talk about the 2017 version of the Hoosiers. They were on campus last Friday to take a look at the team. Jerry, how are you?
I'm doing great, Sammy. Thank you.
All right. Let's, you know, look back at 2016. IU clearly had some issues, going 6-6. They had some turnover issues. What was your main focus coming into 2017 to see what they have improved upon from last season?
Well, you know, it was really more about, Tom Allen taking over and seeing how much different it was going to be and what the differences were. And so that was really our main focus when we were on campus. You know, but it's a long season. We'll see how it develops. But they obviously know what they have to improve on from last year, like most teams do, and they just go to work in camp and try to improve on it.
It's Tom Allen was the head coach for the Foster Farms Bowl. He did a tremendous job as defensive coordinator in 2016. What opinions did you come away from that one practice that he could show signs of being a successful head coach at the Big Ten level?
Well, you know, he's the opposite of Kevin. He micromanages the defense, and Kevin was micromanaging the offense. I think the players generally like him. They certainly responded to him as defensive coordinator, so I think that's the positive. You know, I think anytime a defensive coach becomes a head coach, there's always clock management issues, there's tempo issues, because defensive coaches are accustomed to reacting to the game, not making the game go and tempo of the game. And so he's going to have to learn at some point the offense and know what he wants to do in certain situations. I don't know that he'll do that the first year, but I suggest to you a lot of defensive coaches start micromanaging the defense and ultimately give up that duty so they can keep a little closer eye out to the offense.
Right, and then he hired Mike DeBoard, who's a veteran offensive coordinator, to run the offense. What kind of impact will he have on this team, and what do you expect to see from the offense in general? How much different is it going to be from Kevin Wilson's offense?
I think what they're going to try to do, Sammy, and I'm not too sure, you know, it's just one day of practice. I think what they're going to try to do is keep the run game pretty similar, and change the pass game. I think the pass game is going to be more pass concepts as opposed to what's very popular nowadays, RPOs, run pass options, where the ball is snapped and the offensive line blocks for the run, but the quarterback, as he puts the ball in the running back's stomach, he looks at a secondary player. If that secondary player is supporting, he actually pulls the ball and throws it to him. I think they're going to move away from those things. I think one of the reasons they're going to do that is they feel like it'll cut down on the amount of interceptions they had a year ago. So the short of it is run game the same, pass game's different.
Going to that running game, IU has to replace Dan Feeney and several other veteran linemen along that offensive line. Were there any young guys who stood out to you, and can this offensive line develop into something close to what IU's had in the past?
Yeah, I don't have my roster in front of me. There were a couple guys, I'm sure you know them better than I do, in the offensive line that look like they're ready to go. They've got to replace some starters, so that's always an issue in camp. Whether they can be as good in the offensive line or, in fact, in the entire run game, because they've had some really good offensive linemen along with some really good running backs, I don't know that this year is the year that they're going to get back to where they've been the last couple of years. But they certainly have some players in there that can eventually fill the voids. It's just going to take a little bit of time.
You guys are on the road. You've seen Ohio State and Maryland and Rutgers. Indiana has a bunch of receivers who I think are as good as any in the Big Ten. What do you take away from this receiving core, especially with Simi Cobbs coming back from that injury last year after having played only one play?
Yeah, Sam, I think they deserve that type of recognition as one of the best receivers groups in the country. Offensive line's got to protect Sudfeld, and, you know, obviously he's got to put the ball where he's got to put the ball where Lego. He has to put the ball where it needs to be. So there's a lot more to the passing game than having the best receivers. But if Richard can go through his reads and get the ball and be protected, you know, their pass game should be pretty good.
With only seeing one practice, was there any differences you've seen for Richard Lego coming in from junior college to this year? Does he look a little bit more comfortable in, you know, taking charge in that leadership role?
You know, he does. You know, he's certainly one of the team leaders. You know, he's in a different pass offense, so that's going to take a little bit of time. You know, you get to a point where you just want to learn offense, and then they change coaches on you. But that's the nature of the college football. But the leadership part, I think you have it very accurate. He's taken on an active part of that. I think he'll be one of the leaders. We visited with him on the set. He had a great presence about him, and I'd be shocked if he's not a major part of the team leadership.
You recruited one of the best defensive backs to play at Indiana in Tracy Porter, and you were there during his freshman season. This year's secondary has some real good pieces to it. Do you see anybody, you know, that can make an impact in the game like Tracy Porter did for his career at IU?
Well, I guess, you know, most people would say Fant, and I probably wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't disagree. And the game has changed since Tracy played it. You know, there wasn't as many spread teams. It was just starting to come in. But, you know, they're pretty solid on defense, as you know. And so, you know, Rashad, I would think, would be one of those guys, and I'm sure there's some more back there.
Right. And going into this year, it's a transition year. How important is it for this program to get back to a bowl game and continue the momentum that Coach Wilson started?
Well, you know, it's always important to get to a bowl game when you're, you know, a team like Indiana. But, you know, I look at it this way, Sammy. I said when I got to Indiana, it was a 10-year project. Not that we needed 10 years to win, but to be on solid ground on both sides of the ball, offensively and defensively, through the recruiting and the development process, was going to take 10 years. I consider Tom Allen's first year, the seventh year of Kevin Wilson. And I say that because Kevin did a lot of really good things for 6 years. And I would expect that Tom in season 7 through 10 would be able to balance the roster, because you just see what happens. You know, Kevin built the offense. Now the defense is getting better and the offense isn't as good. So give him 3 years and consider it a 10-year run. And, you know, I think there's a chance that, you know, this thing's going to be solid on both sides of the ball.
Right. And we all know Indiana's opening up against Ohio State at home. College game day is coming. And Coach Allen has called it the biggest game home opener in school history. I don't disagree, but how do you, you know, avoid building up that game so much and, you know, focus on the rest of the season once that game is over?
Well, as you know, they're going to Virginia the following week. So that's a bad 2 games to start as a rookie head coach at Indiana, but it is what it is. You know, I don't know that Tom is putting too much on the game. I think he's just stating the facts that it's a big game. We've got to get ready for it. I think when he says it's the biggest game in IU history, I think it's the fact that You know, Ohio State has been competing for the national championship for a long time. Big Ten's not used to playing opening games against conference opponent. It's a night game. Game day is there. So I think the environment and the circumstances around it make it maybe the biggest home opener in IU history. But I don't know that the result of the game is the most important result of IU history. I just think it's everything surrounding it. If they win the game, obviously it'd be a huge win. If they lose it, you know, they better get over it pretty quickly because they have to go to Virginia. And Virginia's been picked seventh in their division in the ACC, and that's a game they certainly can win, but it's on the road.
Yeah, and Bronco Mendenhall is a tremendous coach. Did great stuff at BYU. And going back to that Ohio State game, how nice is it to see, you know, College game day coming to Bloomington? The fans are excited. You know, how important is it for the program to have this kind of energy going into a season?
Well, I think it's terrific anytime you can say something like this is happening for the first time. And there's a reason they haven't been there before, and there's a reason they're coming. Now, part of the reason is Ohio State, but if Indiana had not had the recent success that they've had, I'm not sure that game day would be there. So it's a tribute to what Kevin Wilson has done in the last 6 years and what people expect Tom Allen to do.
Jerry, we've talked a lot about non-conference scheduling and Big Ten moving to 9 games, and you've mentioned Virginia is a tough non-conference schedule. Is there a way that Indiana in the future should schedule to ensure that they get those needed wins to get to a bowl game and you know, up basically raise the floor of that program?
I certainly think so. You know, Indiana has never had a philosophy about the non-conference schedule. One of the years I was there, we played more away games than we did home games. And you look at some schools around the country, or around the Big Ten, you look at Northwestern. If you ask Northwestern what your non-conference schedule philosophy is, they will say, we're going to play a Power Five contract that has similar academics as we do. So they wind up playing Duke. They wind up playing Wake Forest. And then the next two games, they somehow word it where if Northwestern's recruiting those other schools, the other two schools are recruiting, Northwestern should have better players. In other words, it might not be Power Five. It might be, you know, a notch below. I'm in the bus right now. I'm going from Rutgers to Penn State. We had Patrick Hobbs on the set about 2 hours ago, and coming off an argument we had at Maryland about Maryland playing Texas, which I think is a bad idea, I asked Patrick Hobbs, the new AD at Rutgers, what's your philosophy for non-conference? And he said to build confidence in our team. Now, you figure what he meant by that, Sammy, because I've already figured it out. And so I like an athletic director that answers the question philosophically. And if you answer philosophically, then you make sure things plug in. Like if I ask a Maryland fan, why are you playing Texas? They don't really know. They say, hey, we want to play the best and all that. But they don't have a philosophy. So I would challenge any athletic director, especially someone that's in Fred Glass's situation, to answer the question, what's your philosophy to play in non-conference? Some of these might say we need to make money. And, you know, that's usually not a good sign for a coach. So anyway, Ohio State, you can't avoid them. They're a divisional foe. At Virginia, probably not a great idea.
Right, and then they have FIU there and Georgia Southern, who runs the tricky triple option. I think they've gotten better in their scheduling. There's not really a philosophy just yet, but I'd like to see them, like you, Jerry, schedule teams to where, you know it's either a 50-50 game or you know you could win and have a shot. And I think that would be tremendous for the program. We'll get you out on this final question. What should the expectations be for this 2017 IU team?
I think bowl eligibility is where Tom should be his first year. And then as he goes through year two and three and hopefully four and five, you know, a little bit better than that. You know, stabilize the personnel offensively and defensively. And you know, try to get to a bowl game this year. That'd be three in a row. You're more of a historian of Indiana football than I am. I don't know the last time that happened, but it sure would be good for Indiana to do that.
I don't think it's ever happened. And the last time they went to back-to-back bowl games was in the early 90s when you were at Colorado winning national titles. But, Jerry, thank you very much for coming on, and hopefully we'll get you on again, and drive safely out to Penn State.
Anytime. Thanks.
All right. That was Jerry DiNardo of the Big Ten Network. Thank him for coming on, going over IU football with us. Interesting stuff from him. You can follow him on Twitter at Jerry DiNardo. You can catch him on Big Ten Network every Saturday on Big Ten Tailgate. I don't know if they're coming to IU this year. They did last year. But great stuff from Coach DiNardo and that crew at Big Ten Network. So I want to thank him. Remember, we'll have all coverage from fall camp on at HoosierHuddle.com. You can follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle. And keep listening to the podcast and subscribe onto iTunes. Thank you, and enjoy the rest of the day.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.